All right, well, it is now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm belly group welcome to Sal.
All right, Sal!
Good evening, everybody. Thank God for allowing me to be here tonight, and for all of you, first of all. It's a privilege to be here tonight, and a living example, me being up here, what God can do, you know, for a hopeless alcoholic like me. So a little bit about how it was, what happened, and what it's like now. Some people I know in here, some people I don't. I am a part of my home group, Primary Purpose, on Bridge Street Thursday night. An active member in this 12-step process that has changed my life. So, come from a family of 5 kids. Mom and dad were alcoholics and drug addicts, ex-gang members. Grew up kind of poor. Didn't really have a whole lot growing up. And it was pretty rough, you know, going through a lot at a young age, growing up in a broken home, in a poor environment, and going through life struggles, you know, not understanding why I was dealt the cards I was dealt, you know, it was hard, you know, hard to deal with. And, you know, as a young kid, there was a lot of things going on inside of me that a lot of people on the outside wouldn't have thought, you know, or seen. And, you know, I grew up seeing my parents drink and fight and my mom beat, my dad beat on my mom and beat on us. And that was, you know, it was pretty normal in my household. You know, it wasn't out of the ordinary for me to see. By the time I was about 8 or 9, my dad went off to prison, and my mom was stuck with 5 kids in a one-bedroom apartment to take care of in the projects of East Los Angeles. And that lasted for maybe about a month or two, and then she split one night. She said, "I'm going to go out with some friends and have some drinks," and that was the last time I'd seen her, probably for about 5 years later. An aunt came to take care of us and raise us. But she had 1 kid. She had a 2-bedroom apartment. So now she has 6 kids in a 2-bedroom apartment. And it was just, you know, I couldn't see how someone could take that responsibility on, you know, raising 1 kid. And I think CPS or foster home got involved, and they tried to take us away and put us in foster homes and stuff like that. And my grandparents found out about it, and they came up from Puerto Rico, California, to Los Angeles and picked their grandkids up. You know, and things were, I thought, you know, just things were going to get better, you know, when my grandparents came to the rescue. My dad was out of the picture, mom was gone, I didn't know where she was at. And I just, you know, figured that life was going to get better. Well, you know, when, as a young kid dealing with a situation like that, you know, it was something, you know, there was times when I would just look out the window and cars would pass by, and I would just think like, man, well, one of those cars is going to be my parents, you know, they'll be here. You know, and that lasted for a while until finally you just, you know, the hurt and the anger and stuff goes away, and you kind of just, it goes, you know, you think it goes away, it goes somewhere, but it's just not on the surface anymore. By the time I was maybe 13, 14, my dad got out of prison, and he moved here to Visalia and brought us with him. That's fine. He moved here to Visalia and brought us with him, and I was about a teenager, and his activities were... Sorry about that. I wasn't trying to be a DJ. His activities with alcohol just continued, you know, and the house was still the way it was, kind of like where it picked up off when he first left, you know. By the time I was 14, 15, I was running the streets. I was a runaway from home, And that was about the time that I first was introduced to alcohol, you know. And I remember sneaking out at night. First, it started off, I would sneak out at night, maybe 11, 12 o'clock, and I would meet up with a few friends, and there would be a bottle of booze or some 40s or whatever, you know. And it was a whole new experience for me. And I remember getting drunk and drinking, and at that moment, boom, like, everything that was going inside his cell at that time, or whatever was going on in his life, just kind of seemed to go away for a while, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't have to feel nothing. And it did something for me that I couldn't do for myself, you know, when I was sober going through that stuff as a kid, as a teenager. And that's where things started to take off from there, man. You know, 14, 15 years old, sneaking out, getting drunk. That lasted for maybe a summer. And then I took off from home for good because I was getting beat on by my dad, you know, and I got to the point where I really had this hate inside, and it was either I'm going to take off and go find my own way of living and get away from this, or I was going to end up, you know, trying to get this guy to sleep or something. That's how my mind thought, you know, at the time. And I took off, you know, I took off from home and the party was on. I didn't have to ask nobody. I had no responsibilities. I didn't have to go to school. It was just, you know, me, what I could do to survive out there, how much I could drink and party. And hanging out with, you know, with my homeboys or my friends or whoever I chose to surround myself around, you know. By the time I was 18, I ran rampant through people's lives, you know, robbed people, stole, would drink till I blacked out, you know. It was just, honestly, sometimes some things come back from when I was, you know, the time I was 15 to 18. A lot of things I don't really remember because it was just such a blur, you know. And by the time I was 18, I found myself in the California Department of Corrections, you know, doing a couple years for a crime that I had committed. At the time that I went to prison, I was in a relationship with a young woman who I loved, you know, my first love at the time. You know, and I remember going to the California Department of Corrections and really saying to myself, like, man, you know, I never did no county time. I'd never really been to jail, and it was my first time getting arrested, and I went straight to prison, you know. And I was thinking, you know, for those of you who've been in that situation, you know, you get to a place like that, and you really feel in your heart that, you know, like, this is never going to happen to me again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never going to put myself in this situation, you know. And I didn't have a relationship with my family. It was kind of, you know, once I took off from home at the age of 15, I didn't have a relationship with my family anymore. You know, my grandparents loved me, but they didn't understand how to deal with a young, wild kid, you know, out there in the streets. And I knew that they loved me, you know. I mean, but there was just no relationship, man. I didn't keep in touch. My immediate family, you know, I have three brothers and one sister. You know, my sister was still at home, living with my father, and my other brothers were kind of fending for themselves too, you know. So I found myself in that situation, and I just, like, the only person that I had was this brother that I loved, you know. And I thought, man, I'm never going to do this again. This is not the life that I chose. It's not the path that I wanted to end up on, you know. By the time I got out, you know, we got back together, I thought that I could pull it together, and I did for a little bit. I got a job, had a place, she was going to college, and we were going to plan on getting married and spend the future together. I remember I got a bartending job at Applebee's. And in those times, besides the consequences that happened, me getting taken away and going to this prison and certain things getting broken up and always lying and you know, just being selfish and not considering her or anybody around me, you know, I didn't really think drinking was a problem for me. You know, it was fun for me. It allowed me to party. It allowed me not to feel a lot of things, not to think about a lot of things. And I had a good time, you know. the things around me were deteriorating. You know, my relationships were deteriorating. I couldn't keep a job. You know, slowly friends kind of dropped out of my life because their path was headed towards somewhere different than mine. But I didn't see all that at the time, you know. I didn't see none of that. And eventually, you know, she ended up leaving. I ended up going back to prison. I did about a 4-year stretch, and she was gone. We had before I went, we had had a daughter together, you know. And you know, at the time, I remember she was having our daughter, and I thought, man, like, my life's gonna change now, you know. Like, now I'm having this kid. It's time for me to be responsible and man up, you know. And that didn't happen either, man. You know, having a kid, bringing a little girl to this world wasn't enough for me to take a look at what I was doing, or, you know, it didn't matter to me, you know. So I ended up going away. I come back, don't know my daughter. She left me. I came home and had a restraining order put against me for 5 years. I came home and I was driving down the street and I got pulled over by a task force and it was just serving me with a restraining order saying that, well, we're just serving you a restraining order for 5 years against so-and-so and so-and-so. And then, you know, basically I couldn't have no contact with either one of them. You know, and after all these things were happening in my life and I ended up in the place that I ended up, I never once bothered to stop and think that drinking was a problem for me. You know, I would get small periods of clean time, and I would always, I don't, you know, it's so astonishing now that I've had the experiences I've had with this program, my relationship with God today, and how I look back at everything, and it's astonishing to me how everything could unfold how it did, and I could not see what was in plain sight, you know, to me today. You know, that drinking was a problem for me, and that, I mean, it was destroying my life, you know, and I could never see that. And today I'm clear on that, you know, and it's just astonishing to me, but, you know, having fun in the beginning, you know, alcohol being a solution for me to my problems, taking away a lot of the feelings, not having to think about nothing, being a young kid around your friends, thinking, man, this is it, you know, partying and drinking and just, you know, having a good time, to later on in my life, my early 20s, really destroying things around me and not looking at my actions, being real selfish and just not considering anything, to a place later on in my life, you know, not too long ago, where I didn't even have any friends no more. You know, I used to have a lot of self-confidence in things that I did. Being, you know, the book talks about fancying yourself a leader and having this high resolve, you know, getting these small periods of clean time or just having this outlook or this small, you know, relief in my life where I thought that I could have it under control or that things were just going to change for some reason, you know. And it never did. It always got worse. And it got to that point where no one really wanted me around. I didn't have any more friends. You know, and I found myself holed up somewhere drunk and wondering, like, what the heck, what happened again, you know? Like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, what's going on? And I really wanted to stop and get my life together, you know, with all my heart I did, you know, for my daughter, you know, for the girl that I once loved that, you know, we were in a relationship with and kind of starting our future together. My grandparents, I tried so hard to raise a kid that came from a home, you know, where it was just real screwed up, you know. I wanted to change for all these things, you know, like, and get my life together. Not only that, but I thought, like, I had a brighter future than what I was giving myself. You know, I really did. And nothing ever worked for me. You know, I couldn't figure it out, man. And when I ended up back in that situation again, over and over and over again, I was baffled, kind of like, what happened? Like, what did I do wrong? Or how did I end up here again? You know? And this last time, you know, I got arrested I was looking at a speeding strike case, you know, they're trying to give me life. And You know when something has to change, you know the problem, you know that something's wrong and something has to change, but you just don't know how to change it or how to do it, you know? I came home and they sent me to Pine Recovery. You know, I bought this case for a while, I got a deal, praise God for that, you know, I did a little time and I was sent in 30 days in Pine Recovery. And, you know, I went there, and when I went there, like, I went there just to get out of jail, man. You know, that was my get out of jail ticket card, you know. Talk to the judge, have my lawyer work out a deal, you know, do this time, get this joint suspension, go to Pine for 30 days, and continue living my life, you know, and figure it out some other way. How I was going to do it, like I always did before, you know. Maybe get a job. Find the right girlfriend, work out, you know, do some push-ups. You know what I mean? That's what I always did, you know? And outwardly, you know, when you see me at certain times, you know, it looked okay, you know? And I was able to pull it off and have people think, well, he's going to do it this time, you know? He's capable. He's a bright, you know, he's bright, he's cutting me, he can do it. But it never worked for me, man. Nothing ever did. Nothing ever worked for me, you know? And so I got to Pine, and I got to Pine. I went there drunk. I made some crudo in my salad night before they told me to roll it up, and I got drunk. And so, you know, they told me to roll it up, and I get there, and I'm halfway drunk, you know, happy that I'm there, and not really having a plan, just in my back of my mind, just going with the motions and thinking, let's do these 30 days and get up out of here, you know? And, you know, this program, man, wow. It's amazing, you know. You know, I'm here tonight, you know, not only to share this message, but to be a demonstration of what God can do for me, what the steps have did for me, and give a true message of what this program can do for someone, I mean, for somebody like me. You know, I don't have to be here today because I feel like I'm going to go drink, or I need this meeting because I feel like I'm not going to say something. I mean, it's not like that for me today. God has removed those things from my life. You know, I'm here because this is my obligation as an agent of God, and it's my responsibility to program, you know, to spread this message and to share what this process has done for me. You know, it's totally transformed my life, you know, giving me a whole new life. I get to Pine, and you know, at the time, I'm in a relationship with a girl I got arrested with, and you know, when you get to a recovery program, the first thing on your mind is, when am I going to go see my girl? When am I going to get a job? And how can I get some money to want to pass? You know what I mean? Those are the things that were important to me when I got there. You know what I'm saying? So that was on my mind. You know, that was, you know, I wasn't trying to come in here and work no program. I didn't think that I had a problem drinking, and I didn't want to go to no meeting. You know, my idea of coming to a meeting here, you know, when I first got into Pine, my ideas of people that came to meetings were they're weak, they're lame, and that's not for me. You know, those were my ideas when I got here. You know, that your guys' problem wasn't my problem. You know? And I got there, you know, and I did a little bit of time there, and, you know, I heard someone speak and share a message. You know, and the person that I heard speak and share a message was someone just like me, someone who I'd seen out there in their alcoholism, who I'd seen in prison yards, someone who I surely thought wasn't even sober. You know, I never really considered a permanent sobriety. I always thought that people like me just got under control once in a while and then went back or they came back, you know, like, I didn't think that I could stop drinking for good and for all. I didn't want to, honestly, you know, and to think about that, like, really, to think about not ever drinking again really made me feel like I didn't have a life anymore, you know. I get there, I heard this guy speak, and something, as you know, and I was like, wow, like, first of all, I didn't ever think this person could get sober and stay sober, I mean, let alone, like, how do you get that? Like, you mean? Well, what is that? What's going on with him? What can work for him and change his life? Like, I need that. And you know, that's how I felt. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I've never worked a program. I never bothered giving this program a chance. I never stopped to think about working the 12-step process. And for the first time, you know, I thought about everything in like my life just like flashed before my eyes, kind of sort of thing, you know, thinking about all the times that I've been in and out of this program. I mean, I've been in and out of prison since the time I was 18. I've seen alcohol in my household from the time I can remember. You know, my household had been destroyed. My life had been destroyed. I had a daughter that I didn't even know. A lot of things had happened, you know, and I was just like, how long, you know, finally something, I was just like, how long is this going to go on? Like, what's going to, like, when am I going to get it? When am I going to be able to live a normal life? You know, I didn't know what a normal life was. And I gave this program a chance, man. You know, and I had, by this time, you know, going to find out, I've been in every program in Tulare County. You know, I've been to the Mission, I've been to PAR, I've been to Turning Point, gave the church thing a shot, did a lot of things, man. Did a lot of things that I, you know, thought were going to keep me sober, thought that would work, you know, having all the, I mean, you go to one program, you've been to all the programs, you do the same paperwork, you do the same things. You know what I mean? So I got to the point where I was running out of these programs and like breezing right through them because I already knew kind of the whole rundown and how, you know, triggers. I mean, I could give you 1,000 things that they told me were my triggers like years ago, you know? And, you know, and I finally surrendered to this program and I just like, you know what, man, like, I want to do this. I've given everything under the sun a shot but this. You know, and I finally, you know, was willing to give this program a shot, you know, so I got into working the steps and I got, you know, my sponsor came and see me and he asked me a few questions, man. He first asked me, you know, are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm ready. And he said, you know, are you willing to go to anything? And I said, yes, I'm willing to go to anything. You know, and then he asked me a little bit about my drinking, you know. Have you ever tried stopping? And I said, yeah, you know, I've tried. You know, can you stop once you start? And I didn't really know how to answer that, you know, like, I don't know, like, maybe. You see, I didn't know what my truth was. I didn't even know what an alcoholic was, let alone if I was one, you know? And I got into the step work, you know, and I started working my steps, and, you know, the first step was a real powerful experience for me. It blew my mind away, man. Learning about my disease, learning about, you know, the aspects of the physical craving, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady, you know, it made this thing more tangible for me to see, you know, and looking back and going through the work. You know, when we first go through this work, you know, this book is a textbook. You know, and I've never even read it before I went through the work, you know. It's not a novel where we just read it, it's a textbook, you know. And as we went through the first step, as I went through, you know, the few questions that I had asked when I went through this work was, yes, did that happen to me? You know, as we go through, yes, I felt like that, and do I believe this program will work for me too? You know, and going through the work on my first step and asking myself those questions, I can't relate a lot on, you know, this guy Bill. Praise God for Bill. But this guy Bill, you know, a stockbroker, you know, hung around high finance. You know, I didn't have heroes that were stockbrokers or lawyers. You know, my heroes were gangsters and dope dealers and any strippers. You know what I mean? Those are the people that I look up to and that I surround myself with. You know? But as I went through and I seen, you know, did I drink like him? Did the things that happened to him, the things crumbling around him, did that happen to me? And it did, man. His experiences lined up with mine. You know, and I got to see, you know, what happens when I put alcohol on my body. You know? I got to see the mental obsession, you know, what I suffered from, you know, the physical allergy. And it was real powerful, you know. It showed me what, you know, the desperate and hopeless condition that I was in. And And knowing that if I didn't get something out of this, that I was screwed, man. If I didn't get something, you know, going through this work, that, you know, I didn't have a chance. I tried everything and nothing ever worked for me. And you know, and you hear about the physical craving and a mental obsession going through this work. You hear people talk about it. But okay, well, let's say that I did get clean and sober for a little bit, because I've had small time of sobriety. What then? Because even getting those small times of clean time, I still couldn't manage my life, man. I didn't know how to keep a relationship. I didn't know how to live. You know? And in this book, it talks about, you know, about the root of our problems, you know, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the things that we don't really think about, you know, that we don't really see. You know, and going through this work, you know, it's a powerful experience. It's given me a new life today. Going through step two, you know, I came in here thinking, you know, they say, you know, when you come to this program, I don't know where people were at with God today. You know, I know where I was at. I know where I'm at today. You know, when I came in here, my relationship with God was, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I believe in Him. I go to church on Sundays, you know, once in a while, you know, like, that was my relationship with Him. You know what I mean? I had a lot of beliefs around what God was to me, but I didn't have nothing transmitting in my life. If I did, then why couldn't I stay sober? I mean, wouldn't a God, a loving, caring God, wouldn't He want me to stay sober? Or have a night meeting? Have something working good in my life instead of constantly throwing my life away, constantly drinking myself, you know? And ending up in these places, these rehabs, these institutions. I mean, what kind of God, loving God, would want that for me? You know what I mean? And it's different for me today, man. You know, going through step three and making that decision, I remember getting down on my knees and making that decision to turn my will and my life over to Him. Just a decision, you know? And then where I really got to see a lot of truth was in my inventory. You know, we do a resentment list. And in that resentment list, you know, listing all the people that I hated, principals, institutions, things that I was mad at. You know, and when I was going through that resentment list, I mean, I'd say 65% of that resentment list turned to an amends list. All the people that I thought I hated and was mad at, I ended up having to go and make amends to. You know? And going through that and seeing my resentments and going through and looking at, you know, and looking at those things, and it was a freeing experience for me, man. It was really freeing. You know, the book talks about resentment being the number one offender. You know, the resentment list, you know, the sex inventory and the fear inventory. You know, I've had a lot of relationships with women in my life. You know, how about this one? Well, I'm honest with her and I'm open and upfront, so, you know what I mean? I'm keeping it real with her. You know? How selfish was I in a lot of those relationships, man? How selfish was I? Knowing what was coming out of my mouth, but really what was going to happen. You know? Today I have a God-given sex idea that I try to live up to, man. Well, I'm God will running around trying to screw every woman in my life. You know? A sex idea that God gave me that I was able to go through and look at my conduct and all my behaviors and all my relationships. You know? And it's awesome, man. It's really awesome. You know, I never had the power to do that. Ever. You know, and sometimes it's still hard, but that's when I take it to God. You know? This program, you know, in the book at the very beginning, it says, you know, that it has its advantages for all. And I truly believe that. You know, I am an alcoholic, and this is an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, but, you know, I believe that this program will work for anybody, no matter what you suffer from. You know, in the book, it doesn't talk about, you know, I don't believe anybody here is more important than any other person. I believe we're all children of God. And I believe that the one most important person in here is alcoholic that still suffers. And that's whether you're here for the first day, 30 days, or 20 years. You know what I mean? There's a freedom in this work that you can get. It's given me, you know, in this past year that I've been through this work and that I've lived this program, I have felt more freer today in the small time that I did this than I ever have in my life. I mean, I don't recommend for anybody new who hasn't been through this work to put yourself in positions where you're not ready to be in. But where I'm at in this work and where this is taking me and where God's at in my life, I'm free to go anywhere in this world, man. And I don't have the desire, I don't have the obsession for any of those things. You know, it talks about, you know, in the third step, you know, going through this work about me being a child, you know, and an agent of God today. And not trying to play God and control my life, control your life. I've always tried to do that. You know, and I've seen so many promises come true in my life today going through this work. Like, I mean, I have an awesome job. I have awesome friends. I have a home that I just moved into about a week ago. I've never had those things in my life, man. I was used to making a bed, rolling it up, staying when you can go to chow, when you can. You know what I mean? Like, I was used to being in a controlled environment. That was easy for me. That's how I learned how to live. And today it's not like that, man. This program has given me a lot. Things that I never thought I could have in a small period of time, you know? I'm making my amends right now. And, you know, going through this work and having this relationship with God today, not suffering from the desire to drink, you know, not suffering from depression, not running around full of fear, not having those things in my life, like, it's a powerful thing. You know, they talk about getting rocketed into this fourth dimension, and that's what it feels like. When I can go through this work and see my truth, see that I am an alcoholic, look at all my past experiences, write them up with this book, do this inventory, this resentment list, and see my part of things, my self-seeking actions, my selfish behavior, where it's affected the seven different parts of self, you know, my pride, my ambition, all these things. It is like being rocketed to a fourth dimension, man. It really is. And it's here for each and every one of you. It's some work, but the God that I have in my life today is great. Awesome. Doing my amends, you know. Talk about needing to have power. You know, first of all, the power to completely stay sober. That I thought I would never have. The power to live a manageable life today. Well, I don't gotta try to control all that stuff. I leave it to God. And all my actions, I wake up in the morning, I pray for the one, God, let your will be done today. I go to my work. God, who would you have me be around my co-workers today? You know? It's just, it's a power, it's accessible for me today. Before going through that inventory and see the things that were blocking me off from you and God, it wasn't accessible. But there's something that happens in going through this inventory and going through this work that allows me access to tap into this power, that allows me to have a job today, that allows me to stay completely clean and sober, that allows me to come here, man, and speak this message and share what it does for me. You know, I don't have a relationship with my mom. You know, I haven't had a relationship with my mom in a long time. And I was going through my amends, and I had to make an amends for her. You know, first going through my resentment list, I would look at my mom and my resentment list and say, you know, I don't need to be here for her. She ain't never been there for me. She didn't know how to be a mom. She left me. And then I had to look at my actions. Well, what did I do to my daughter? Have I been there for her? I left her a long time ago. And that's the realization that comes into play. And then I get a piece of the delusion that I thought that my mom had power to do something different. She was just as sick as I was. You know? And God gave me the power to get into my little truck that I bought with my money, the job that he gave me. And I drove to prison. You know, my mom's dying right now of cirrhosis of the liver. And so is my dad. And I, you know, the first time in my life I got to go see her and take her out to breakfast. You know, which when I was out there drinking and doing what I was drinking and boozing and cruising and doing what I was doing, I didn't stop to do those things about doing those things. It was, you know what, she owes me something. It's not like that for me today, man. It's not like that, you know? And I got to sit down with her and I got to make that amends. You know, Mom, I want to talk to you and tell you that I love you and I'm sorry that I haven't been the son that I should have been to you. You know? What about my part in these things? Being able to go and be a son to her when she needed me. You know, I can do that today with my family, with friends, and then working with others, you know. Working with others the way that this man, my sponsor that works with me, you know, who God was able to allow this process to happen with, give his time to me, man. How unselfish is that? How unselfish is it for him to sit down with me hours at a time, and help me find my truth and the solution in this book? See, it isn't these meetings, it wasn't really even this book, it was God, but this book helped me get connected to that power, to God, man. You know? And my life is different, man. My beliefs, the way I live, everything has changed. You know, and it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here. You know, they say that the limit to spiritual growth is limitless. You know, how free do I want to be today? How free do I want to be? You know, taking this message and working with somebody else, with this book between us, and try and let them get this same experience, let them access this power, let them go through these resentments, this fear inventory, this sex inventory, you know? I'm so thankful today, man. I'm so thankful to be able to be up here. I'm so thankful for the presence that God's given me, the job, the everything, you know? And it's not so much, I didn't even have to go out and try to get those things. God gave them to me. Literally gave them to me, you know? By living by these spiritual principles, accessing this power, tapping into something that was beyond my wildest dreams, you know? Being able to sit down with my mom and make that amends. Go to people in these places that I thought I could never go back to. This book doesn't talk about closing the door on our past, forgetting about what's happened and moving on. The book doesn't talk about that. The book talks about going back and setting our past right, making these amends. And will I continue to make them? Will I continue to work with others? Or do I believe that as a result of me not going to any length, back to step one, where I was at, are you willing to go any, to any length? I got to continue to keep that fresh in my mind as I go through this work. I said I was going to go to any length to finish these amends completely, to continue to work with others. You know? Die an alcoholic death, by the spiritual experience. Those are my two options today. This is the book tells me. Am I going to die an alcoholic death? Or am I going to live and have a vital spiritual experience? That's the only thing that can save a guy like me. You know? And I truly believe that today. I truly believe that. You know, this program before, I would have never given a chance to look this way. And I'm so grateful that I have, you know, given me a brand new life. Not the life that I used to have, but a whole new one. You know? And I'm able to be awake in my spirits, awake to my conduct, my behavior, my actions, my life. And I thought drinking was just my problem, you know? That was just sort of scratch of the surface, man. Because I guarantee had I just took drinking out of the equation and I was stuck with myself, I'd still be causing a lot of harm to a lot of people. I guarantee it. You know? And it's like 9 days a day, you know? I'm so very grateful. That's all I got, man. Thank you guys for having me.